Hello, this is Sharon, and I'll be bringing you the pantograph for today, which is Wednesday, September 18th, 2019. We will begin today's reading on the front page of the paper with an article entitled Values and Vision, Dietz Speech Touts Multicultural Center Biofuel Grant. Plans for a multicultural center, a $10 million federal grant for biofuel research, a possible engineering program, and other achievements show why Illinois State University is an institution of values and vision, President Larry Dietz said Tuesday in his annual State of the University address. The Multicultural Center, under discussion for several years, will be in what currently is the Instructional Technology and Development Center at the corner of Main and Dry Grove Streets, Dietz announced in his address. Given our strong desire for this community to fully embrace our value of diversity and inclusion, our vision is to have this facility in place and functional by the fall of 2020, said Dietz. The desire for a multicultural center has been cited in numerous studies and focus groups, including a campus climate assessment. The center will include event and meeting rooms, gathering spaces, a full kitchen, student organization offices, administrative offices, and satellite student support services, said Dietz. The building houses the Center for Teaching, Learning, and Technology, which will temporarily move to Williams Hall while a permanent space is created within Milner Library. The CTLT provides a variety of faculty support services and organizes workshops and other programs related to improving teaching and use of available technology. Dietz said such centers usually are located in libraries at other campuses. Dietz said 32% of ISU's incoming class is racially diverse. He attributes ISU's ability to attract people of various background to ISU's welcoming environment. He noted that the diversity of the student body reflects the overall population of Illinois. ISU's commitment to learning and scholarship also is reflected in its investigation of adding engineering programs, creation of a cybersecurity major that has attracted 300 students, and in faculty and staff scholars receiving more than $28 million in grants and other external funding, said Dietz. The U.S. Department of Agriculture grant announced Tuesday will fund research on an annual oil seed cover crop called pennycress that has the potential to produce biodiesel, jet fuel, and animal feed. ISU researchers will be working with Western Illinois University, the lead institution, as well as three other universities, the USDA, and St. Louis-based crop development company CoverCress, on the project. Work continues on the feasibility of adding engineering programs, most likely in the areas of mechanical and electrical engineering. Dietz said a campus task force completed work on a business plan and facility needs, and the next step will be hiring an architectural engineering firm to help determine the size of the facility that would be needed. In answer to a question raised after the talk, Dietz said, "There is a huge demand for engineers in the state that is not being met by other schools." He said such a program would not decrease resources for other programs and would add a new dimension to the university and bolster its reputation. In addition to talking about values and vision, Dietz repeated his often used description of ISU being strong and stable. He noted how ISU weathered the financial storm during the state's budget impasse in recent years by focusing on its planning process and attitude. While Illinois State continues on an upward trajectory, public higher education in Illinois still faces significant challenges, said Dietz. I want to manage our expectations by remaining cautious and frugal in our spending approach. Several people in the audience at the Center for the Performing Arts held signs that said, Fair Contract Now, a reference to ongoing negotiations with the Union for Clerical Employees. American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, Local 1110, which represents 365 grounds, building service, and event management, dining and hospitality employees, ratified a contract Monday night. However, the Clerical Employees Union, AFSCME, Local 3236, continues to work under terms of its old contract, which expired 14 months ago. The next scheduled negotiating session is September 30th. Trish Goodman, an office support specialist in the Sociology and Anthropology Department, asked Dietz during the question and answer period after his talk to become more involved in the dispute, saying, "It feels like we're being put off and concerns are not being heard." Dietz replied, "I appreciate your comment and I appreciate your work, but I am not a trained negotiator, and I leave that task to those who are. I am optimistic that progress can be made," he added. YWCA offers a SALT hotline. Stepping Stone's service starts October 1st. Survivors of sexual assault, abuse, and stalking in McLean County will have to describe their difficult experience one fewer time when YWCA McLean County Stepping Stones develops its own sexual assault, abuse, and stalking hotline. PATH, providing access to help, which has been taking many of the calls before handing them off to Stepping Stones, McLean County's Rape Crisis Center, is supportive of the change. The new hotline, 309-556-7000, takes effect October 1st. Hillary Paca, YWCA Senior Director of Prevention and Empowerment Services, said, "People may continue to call 211 or 309-827-4005, PATH's Crisis and Human Services Referral Hotline," said Paca and PATH Executive Director Karen Zangerle. "There should be no gaps in service," Zangerle said, "but now people can just call one number for sexual assault. People won't have to repeat themselves. It makes it much easier. When it comes to sexual assault, we always are looking for ways to reduce barriers to access and creating this new hotline so people will have immediate access to a trained advocate is one way to do that," Paca said. "This is a big step for the community and the survivors out there." "We are thrilled," Zangerle said. "Stepping Stones provides crisis intervention, medical and legal advocacy, and counseling for assault and abuse survivors, as well as prevention education and training. During the fiscal year that ended June 30th, Stepping Stones handled 237 calls, the same number as the previous fiscal year. But the numbers of survivors and their loved ones served increased from 268 to 297 in the fiscal year that ended June 30th, and number of hours providing assistance increased from 2,619 to 4,116. "Without our shift in culture with more attention on sexual assault, people are identifying what happened to them in the past and things that are happening now and are more willing to seek out our services and learn their options," Paca said. In recent years, people have called the YWCA office number or PATH and calls were patched to a Stepping Stones trained advocate, or a message was taken and an advocate would return the call. Now people will call the new hotline and will speak with a trained advocate who is in the Stepping Stones office or elsewhere but on call, Paca said. Zangerli said, I'm glad for the clients that this will be an easy process at one of the most difficult times of their life. Bloomington-based PATH handled more than 53,000 crisis information and referral calls for 44 counties during 2018, and 53 of them were sexual assault related, Zangerli said. From January 1st through August 31st, PATH took 38 sexual assault-related calls. PATH has been a great partner, Paca said. Hotline startup costs, including for phones and installation, total $10,000, Paca said. Money for startup and operations comes from the Illinois Coalition Against Sexual Assault, which uses state and federal money to help fund rape crisis centers. Stepping Stone's staff has been gradually increasing over the years. Paca is hiring two additional staff people, in part to help with the hotline, which will bring their staff to 15. Their salaries are covered by the coalition, by donations and community contributions, and by the Illinois Attorney General's office grant. City revisits parking on Main Street. City engineers recommended leaving parking along Main Street in downtown unchanged after looking at options that included adding angled spaces and restricting traffic to one lane, but business owners want the issue revisited. The city's Transportation Commission made a preliminary recommendation last month to maintain the current traffic configuration, but it returned to the issue Tuesday to give business owners more of a chance to comment, said city traffic engineer Philip Allen. There was a fair amount of outreach to me and to the elected officials that we had opportunities that were not being explored about changing some of the parking, said City Manager Tim Gleason. After that stretch of Main Street was repaved this spring, temporary white stripes were used to delineate on-street parking spaces while the city staff looked at whether traffic could be reconfigured to add more on-street parking spaces. The staff put together three options, including keeping the current configuration with two driving lanes, angled parking on one side of the street, and parallel parking on the opposite side. A second option was based on a downtown task force recommendation that year that would limit traffic to a single lane and have angled parking on both sides. That suggestion was never adopted by the City Council. The engineering staff determined that alternative would only add about 7 spaces over the entire 5 blocks of Main through the downtown, and there would be a problem with delivery trucks blocking traffic at times. A third option included angled parking on both sides of the street, but added a designated loading zone area in each block to keep the driving lane open. That alternative would result in the loss of 6 spaces. Determining parking couldn't be increased significantly without noticeably decreasing the safety and usability of the street and/or violating the city code. The commission last month unanimously supported the city staff's recommendation to keep the current traffic configuration with 126 parking spaces. I think what it did was serve as a catalyst to bring us to today, where we realized there needed to be more discussion from a lot more of the parties, said Maureen Reaney Bradley, the commission's interim chairperson. At Tuesday's meeting, Gail Beck and Carmen Champion, who operate businesses downtown, said they did not like parking spaces replaced with loading zones on Main and suggested locating those zones on the cross streets of Market and Monroe. Two other downtown business owners, Jamie Mathey, a Ward 1 alderman, and Justin Boyd, who chairs the city's planning commission, both served on the 2017 Downtown Task Force. Both said they favored reducing traffic on Main to one lane. The biggest benefit to that would be slowing traffic in the downtown, said Boyd. I see cars speeding regularly by my office. Mathey said a single lane of traffic with angled parking spaces would make it easier and safer for people to cross the street. He also wants to see on-street parking enforcement extended until 7 p.m. to encourage downtown residents to park for free in the garages at night to open up parking spaces for businesses and restaurants. Dave Park, who owns property at 317 North Main Street, is worried that more angled parking spaces would bring more accidents. I'm just kind of concerned it's going to be too much traffic in too dense of an area, he said. It could be a life safety issue. Public Works Director Jim Karsh and Deputy City Manager Billy Tyus said they will report the feedback to Gleason and continue to seek more input from the downtown stakeholders and other community residents. I think it is important that any time there's a change of this magnitude, we take a pause and look at what all the options are before we spend the money and put down the paint, said Bradley. Once you start painting the stripes, I believe it will cost $30,000. As Mr. Karsh mentioned, the paint is intended to last as long as the pavement. So these are big decisions we're making. Putting it on hold, taking a break, and having the discussions, I think, is very important. Today's Flick Fact. Question. Shaped like a building with a tall smokestack that is only 6 miles wide but 26 miles tall, Ford County often is considered one of the more oddly shaped counties in all of America. Do you know how that occurred? The answer? The county just east of McLean County that is home to such towns as Gibson City and Paxton has that shape because it was the last of Illinois' 102 counties to be created. It had no option but to take what was left. Today in history. Today is Wednesday, September 18th. It's the 261st day of 2019, and there are 104 days left in the year. Today's highlight: on September 18th, 1793, President George Washington laid the cornerstone of the U.S. Capitol. On this date in 1959, during his U.S. tour, Soviet leader Nikita Khrushchev visited Wall Street, the Empire State Building, and the grave of President Franklin D. Roosevelt. In a speech to the U.N. General Assembly, he called on all countries to disarm. In 1961, United Nations Security General Dag Hammarskjöld was killed in a plane crash in northern Rhodesia. And thought for today from Thomas Wolfe. Make your mistakes, take your chances, look silly, but keep on going. Don't freeze up. Setting it right regarding minimum wage. Illinois' minimum wage will increase statewide to $9.25 on January 1st, $10 in July 2020, and by a dollar each January through 2025. The story in Tuesday's Pantograph was unclear. And locally, how time flies 100 years ago today, September 18, 1919. Since W.L. Hogel disappeared the other day, auditors at Swift & Company have looked into his accounts. They now say he absconded with $12,000 of company money. A corporate detective is looking for Hogel, who's thought to have fled to Chicago. 75 years ago, on September 18, 1944, 20 streets in Normal have received a blacktop coating in the past 2 weeks. First, the crews lay down asphalt and then cover it with a layer of stone chips. That completes about 70% of the Normal street jobs requiring immediate work. 50 years ago, on September 18, 1969, a mobile home court was proposed for the Six Points neighborhood, but when it came up for a zoning hearing, the zoning board voted it down. About 70 homeowners at the hearing had opposed the court and broke into applause at the board's decision. And 25 years ago, on September 18, 1994, Ken Lewis brought a 200-year-old cabin from Kentucky and reassembled it in his yard at 510 South Mason Street. The family will use it as a retreat. Research shows the builder was a son of a signer of the Declaration of Independence and an ancestor of Lewis. Heartland Community College okays fiscal policies. The Heartland Community College Board of Trustees approved three policies Tuesday night designed to improve long-term financial planning and sustainability for the district. Among the policies is one calling for maintaining an operating fund reserve of between 40% and 60% of the district's annual budget expenditures. The current fund balance is about 50% of the annual budgeted expenditures of roughly $32 million. Under another adopted policy, the board will strive to maintain the total tax rate at the previous year's level. The third policy refers to debt management. The policies put in writing what has been the board's standard practice. Having a formal policy is among factors bond rating agencies consider when evaluating a district that plans to issue bonds. The amount of reserves on hand is another factor, explained Doug Minter, Vice President of Business Services. Higher bond ratings generally result in the district having to pay less interest when it borrows money. Minter said at a special meeting where the proposals were discussed on September 10th. The action was recommended by the President's Financial Stability Task Force. The board also approved a fiscal 2020 operating budget of $31.9 million, an increase of 4.4% over the fiscal 2019 operating budget. One change between the tentative budget approved in June and the budget approved Tuesday is an increase of $350,000 in local and state support and a decrease in the budgeted deficit from $575,000 to $507,000. Minter said the change is largely due to receiving more money than anticipated from the state. He said another good sign is seeing state money come in at a faster rate than in the past. About half of the district's revenue, 50.2%, comes from tuition and fees. Local support from property taxes accounts for 34%, state support provides 9.2%, and the remaining 6.6% comes from continuing education, federal support, and other areas. Athena nominees, 20 under 40 honorees announced. The McLean County Chamber of Commerce has named its Athena Leadership Award nominees, and the Pantograph has named its 20 under 40 leadership winners. The groups will be honored on October 10th at the Marriott Hotel and Conference Center and the Normal Theater. Athena finalists are Laura Furlong, retired CEO of Mark First, Kathleen Lorenz, Executive Director, Leadership Illinois, and Ken Myska, founder, Epiphany Farms Hospitality Group. Athena honors excellence in leadership. The 20 under 40 program recognizes young professionals who excel in their career, are passionate about their community, and are making a mark in Central Illinois. Honorees are Abby Strader, Bosenberg, Fort Jesse Cafe, Allegra Thigpen, State Farm, Amanda Jones, Pantograph Media, Andrea Agert, Shiv Hatterley, Andy Traeger, Barker Motor Company, Brian Shoemaker, State Farm, Cody Troutman, Let's Party Rental Center, Hannah Masani, Illinois Wesleyan University, Jade Lamar Hersey, State Farm, Jay McGee, Clemens Insurance, Jim Rosenlund, Heartland Bank and Trust, Joe Palma, Palma Entertainment, Sober Bloomington, Katie Pratt, Illinois State University, Katie Ride, Ascend Benefits, a division of Snyder Insurance, Kim Kaufman, State Farm, Merle Brown, Developing Melodies, Molly Smeltzer, Advocate Broman Health and Fitness Center, Monica Bullington, Remax Rising, Nikki Gibson, State Farm, and Punit Lickshaw, Chestnut Health Systems. For tickets to the event, call 309-829-1183 or visit McLeanCountyChamber.org. Area calendar: on Thursday, Advocate Broman Medical Center Open House for the newly renovated Simulation Center will be held at 11 a.m. at Advocate Broman, 1304 Franklin Avenue, Normal. There's a program, ribbon-cutting ceremony, and open house for the newly renovated Simulation Center. There will be a hiring fair from 2 to 4 p.m. Thursday at the Bloomington Public Library Community Room in partnership with the Illinois Department of Employment Security. 6 to 8 employers with active positions in production, IT, logistics, and healthcare will be in attendance. Bring your resume. The Constitution Day program will be held at 2 p.m. Thursday at the Escalante Room of the Hewitt Manchester Hall, Illinois State University, Normal. The topic, From the Lobby to the Street, Strategies Used by Voting Activists in the Early 19th Century, and it will be presented by Kyle Ciani. The hosts are the American Democracy Project and the Center for Community Engagement and Service Learning at ISU. And the Miller Park Story Walk will be from 4 to 6 p.m. on Thursday at the Miller Park Pavilion on the paddle boat side to celebrate International Talk Like a Pirate Day, followed at 6:30 p.m. with a preview concert by Ethel and Robert Mirabel at the Miller Park Bandstand. And the red panda has cubs at Miller Park Zoo. 3 red pandas have been born at Miller Park Zoo, the first cubs ever bred and born at the zoo. The pandas, 1 male and 2 females, are the offspring of Ernie and Masala. The cubs were born June 16th. The zoo announced the births on Tuesday morning. The cubs can be seen with their mother on exhibit starting Tuesday with a question and answer session and showing daily at 10 a.m. The cubs will be introduced to their father later. Zoo Director Jay Tetzloff said a typical litter is 1 to 4 cubs, and the gestation period is 4 months. Surprisingly, red panda fossils have been discovered in North America that date as far back as 5 million years, he said. Today, however, red pandas are only found in small, isolated mountain territories above 4,000 feet in China, Nepal, India, Bhutan, and Burma. A new red panda exhibit is in the phase one of the zoo's master plan. The zoo, located at 1020 South Morris Avenue, Bloomington, is open daily from 9:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., and the grounds are cleared at 5 p.m. It is closed on Thanksgiving and Christmas. We will take a short break now and then return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for Wednesday, September 18th, 2019.